Oh, yeah!
I don't know why I did that voice. This is You've Been Challenged. I'm Craig Collins. And this is the Rock theme song to Dragon Ball Z. In full disclosure, this is also my second time introducing this segment because I did forget to hit the recording button the first time. My guest is Brandon C. Price. And like I said, the first time we did this for just the two of us, I am super excited, as I say every week about this, but genuinely so because I did not expect during my podcast, and certainly this early, I've done 22 episodes, which sounds like a lot. But when you're talking about all of television, that's not that many.
Yeah, you got plenty of space to go.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we're getting to Dragon Ball Z. This is amazing. Brandon, you, I think, referenced the show on a Patty Vasquez show. And
yeah, something. Something connected us, and we looked at each other and had that.
I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so, again, this is the last callback to the 3 minutes of recording that we didn't make. I think this show hit me at the exact perfect time in my life. I was like a preteen or an early teenage kid. Mm-hmm. Cartoons, to me, weren't childish at all. They were still very much a lot of what I watched.
Totally.
Not that they aren't now. I still really like cartoons. But there's a period probably in high school or something where you're like, oh, I'm not watching those cartoon shows anymore. So this was a little bit before that, and it was probably the show on Cartoon Network's Toonami, as you said.
Yeah, for sure.
What people didn't hear. It's a really interesting kind of fighting show for anyone. I doubt anyone's going to click on this who's not familiar with Dragon Ball Z, and this I might not get anyone to listen to this podcast. I don't care. This show is amazing. Brandon, before I get too much further into it, though, tell us a little bit about who you are and why you really like this show.
Well, I'm a comedian, performer, musician here in Chicago. Own an entertainment company that does a show right now called Vamp, which you should absolutely look up, but that's not the focus of this podcast.
No, it's okay. You can pimp yourself.
I think it's the same thing for me, man. This was a childhood thing. I remember watching it with all, and like we had two things. We had Pokemon, so we're super into the cards and the games and stuff, but then this would come on like after school or late night Toonami.
Yeah.
And it was so freaking cool.
Yeah.
It's all the good elements of action and adventure and like fantasy superpowers and like you know all that soap opera-esque like relationship stuff. It's just a great show.
Yeah, so it's weird. The one thing that I think I've realized about the show when I've gone back and seen it, I don't know if I just didn't notice as much as a kid or I just didn't care. Very little happens in each individual episode.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was consuming them an episode at a time, a day at a time, when that was still a thing that we did, I'm surprised I stayed with it as long as I did. Because there's some episodes where the cliffhanger seems like, okay, these two people are about to fight, and that's going to be an awesome fight. And then the next episode,
they just power
you're
up
still,
for it
you're
for
still getting
minutes.
Ready for the fight. Yeah,
on the next episode
doesn't happen
of Dragon Ball Z.
No, so it's amazing. And I think the early on show and what it kind of is in the first couple seasons is what makes it so good, because after the Frieza saga,
you kind of like what I equate it to is when I think the show changes. Now I love the whole thing, but when I think the show changes is when the power meters are no longer valid.
Yeah,
we're like 1600
and
then we got to like million bajillion, and then we just didn't even wear those anymore.
You have the scouters. So the characters wear these scouters, that especially the characters from outer space, not the ones who are living on Earth, that tell you what a person's power level is. And there seemed to be a lot of actual math in the power levels.
Absolutely.
The very first episode, and this is a continuation from the Dragon Ball cartoon show.
Yeah, five years after Dragon Ball ends.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen any of that show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. So the characters that are the main stars kind of are on an equal playing field. The two guys that would be the main two heroes when the bad guy first lands on the planet are within 20 power points, whatever you want to call it.
I want to say like humans were like 19 for a human was like, whoa, that dude's pretty.
I think a lot of humans were like 5.
Yeah, for sure. I think so. And then like by the time we got into Raditz, like 100 was starting to come up with Goku and stuff, and that was just nonsense.
Well, Goku and Piccolo are actually in the 300s for the fight against
the
Raditz.
First? Okay, all right, cool.
So I think they're both, because they're wearing weighted clothing.
Yeah.
The main hero of the show, his name is Goku, for anyone that is listening and doesn't have any affinity for Dragon Ball Z, which I'm dumbfounded as to why you'd listen to this.
We're glad you're here.
But thank you for being here. The main guy is Goku, and then kind of one of his enemies in the previous show that becomes his friend and sort of is the other hero on the planet, at least to begin the show.
Yeah.
Is Piccolo.
The non-human hero.
Right.
You got your Krillins and Yamchas, but they're human, so they're therefore limited.
And they're not as close in power. That's one
thing
that's interesting about the show, too, is that it sort of picks one other kind of team member to be close to Goku.
Yeah.
And that person then is the other most relevant side character. And the other characters are not quite as relevant.
They die all the time.
Yeah, they die. Yamcha dies a lot.
Yeah,
I'm not
absolutely.
Sure if you're... Yeah, every fight.
Absolutely.
Every
Tien
major
fight.
Tien dies
all the time.
Yeah.
Chiaotzu. Yeah.
He almost always kills himself.
Yeah. It's never worked. Once did his suicide move ever work.
No, it is not actually an effective move, Chiaotzu.
The third time he came back from like Kai's house, they'd be like, hey, dude... You know, maybe like grab a knife, something else.
Just go home. Yeah. I mean, bro, like if it's not going to work, if you explode, then just go home.
Why do we hang out with this doll who blows up for no reason?
It's all Tien's fault.
Yeah, that's true.
But so I don't know. I think the most interesting thing, too, at least at the beginning of the show, is that all those characters that we just referenced not really being important actually are in the first kind of extended saga, which they call the Saiyan saga. Because when Goku actually beats the first bad guy that comes to the planet, he dies in the process. He's not part of it, and all these kind of secondary characters become a major part of the defense team because aliens are coming. Yeah, more bad guys are on their way to planet Earth. And that, to me, was the most intriguing arc. The most intriguing. There's these two bad guys coming from, you know, we don't know exactly where. And the whole team, no matter how powerful they are, no matter how successful they are, they're all involved in prepping and planning, and that continues to happen throughout the show. They continue to prepare, but then none of them fight. By the time we get to the Cell Saga, everybody trained.
Yeah.
But the amount of people that actually fought, there's two characters.
Well, I mean, like real quick, I think, again, like Cell just kind of kills everyone. Like, it's
No, they stand to the side for a large amount of that fight,
just kind of gasp and wish it was going better.
So I always debate in these podcasts when I'm setting them up, Brandon, and maybe you can tell me how much context I give to listeners. Because, again, the amount of people that I assume listen to this that have no frame of reference as to what this show is, I think that if you clicked it, you're probably already gone by now. And now we have just DBZ people who are left.
No, absolutely. Let's get specific. Let's talk Raditz and Nappa and Ginyu Forest.
I think the most successful story arc to most people is actually Frieza. It's not the Saiyan specifically. It's not Vegeta, although Vegeta is the best character on the show.
By far the best character.
Hands down.
Always wanted him to be more powerful. Yep. Knew he was never going to... To me, the whole show was the arc of Gohan.
Sure.
You know what I
mean? Well, that's all the way through Cell. So I think that was even the creator's idea, is that Goku is the most powerful Saiyan, even though he was born as one of the least powerful Saiyans, and that Saiyans care about that. But his offspring, Gohan, would be the true hero of the show.
Absolutely.
And I think after Cell, he sort of wanted to just be done.
Yeah, well, you know, he hooks up with Herschel's daughter, Videl, and they, like, have their relationship, and they eventually have kids and stuff. But the question...
Hercule is an amazing character, by the way,
too. Mr. Satan.
Yeah. Yeah, he's super great.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Right.
But I think the line between is Goku... still the most powerful and just always going to hold back a little to make his son grow that much more? Or is Goku unquestionably, like, not as powerful as his offspring will be? I think that was always something cool that I'm glad they never told me.
Oh, I thought they did. It's funny, we're going back to, like, kind of a Lost conversation that you and I had where we weren't sure whether or not people
said that.
I took the Cell Saga, which is the saga we're sort of talking about, as definitive proof that Goku was not as powerful as Gohan, that the way he shaped that was not a I'm holding back to push you forward, but Gohan's the only one that can reach Super Saiyan 2, which is a stage in the Super Saiyan-ness.
Yeah, at that point.
Yeah.
Super Saiyan Gen 2.
Super Saiyan Gen 2. Yeah, and Super Saiyan 1, by the way, is the most compelling set of episodes. Like,
even though I like
the Saiyan saga more than the Frieza saga, the episodes in which Goku finds the ability to go Super Saiyan, those are the best episodes in the whole show.
Frieza was... I mean, he introduced the form changing, which I think once the writers did that, we can do that.
Yeah.
We can make three seasons out of each character if they just keep changing forms.
Even Zarbon, just before him, had one change.
Gosh. And
Zarbon was one of Frieza's henchmen.
He was one of the five Ginyu Force?
Yeah.
Okay,
No. Zarbon was one of his direct henchmen, not part of the Ginyu Force.
Oh, the two dudes in the ship when they first come
I
down.
Do have to admit, Brandon C. Price, that I did binge this entire show very recently.
Oh, did you really? Okay,
super
recently. Okay,
like,
awesome.
For this podcast, and I watched all of it, and these are 23, 24-minute shows.
Yeah.
And actually, since the original kind of run created by one group, they've created something that's a lot shorter. It cuts out a lot of the powering up aspects.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So instead of 7 or 8 seasons of 25 episodes a season, they cut it down to like 2 or 3 seasons of shows.
Oh, man, I got to Google that.
No, but I haven't seen that. I've seen the super long 8-season version of Dragon Ball Z with you, like you said, powering up for episodes upon episodes at a time. And I don't know. The most compelling kind of stuff to me, like you said, I guess, is when we can sort of track how they're succeeding, how they're kind of developing. And even the Zarbon character, the Frieza character, when they sort of morph and their power level jumps insanely,
right.
There still was some sort of semblance of, you know, I sort of know where you are compared to other people.
Yeah.
And then that goes away after the Frieza saga.
Yeah, Cell kind of just, I mean, the androids too just kind of screw that whole thing up.
Right.
But no, it's, I mean, I wish I could remember the quote. It's a meme all over the internet all the time. I just remember.
Oh, 6,000 or 9,000?
6,000. Yeah. I can't remember the power level. It's power level. No, it's 6,000. Yeah.
It's either 6 or 9,000. Yeah. One's the actual amount and then one's the misrepresented.
Yeah, because Goku learns how to hide his powers, right?
Well, no, actually, that is a translation thing. So there's one thing too that I think you've seen a lot of the subtitled Japanese version
with
of the
blood
show
and twice the powering up.
Well, I've seen all the stuff. I've seen an unedited artistic representation of the
cool
show, but it has English subtitle or
right.
dubbing. It's actually spoken English over the top. Yeah. So in that version, some of the things that they changed from Japanese to English, they actually messed up. They didn't translate it correctly. So even Frieza's power level being a million, that's not necessarily what they wrote in the Japanese version. That's just what the English guys were like, yeah, this says a million. Yeah,
everyone's let's named just, after a vegetable. Let's just go here.
Let's just do this. This is a cool thing. Yeah, no, so I don't know. I think that a lot of that stuff does wind up taking away from the believability in the show and then kind of our frame of reference of who's more powerful than who. I will mention that Dragon Ball Super is a show that just started airing very recently, and Vegeta is as powerful as Goku in that.
Well, then I'm not going to get to sleep before work at all. This is awful.
They put out two movies. There's one movie called Battle of the Gods.
Resurrection F and then
Battle of the Gods is the first one. In that one, Goku is the star. He is the most powerful guy. This is the first of these Dragon Ball Super kind of movies that came out, and actually sort of the first season of that show. And then the second movie is called Dragon Ball Super Resurrection of F. And in that, Vegeta and Goku are the same power level.
Okay.
Yeah, they can reach the same height, which is a very, really convoluted.
It's post Cell, or it's post Boo.
Oh, it's post Boo, yeah.
So this is like SS Gen 3?
No. So that's a great question. They actually, in the Battle of the Gods, create a new level that's called Super Saiyan God. You can actually go.
Is that when they go like super red?
Yeah,
like,
so like Goku goes red. He's the only one that does
kind
it.
Of stuff.
They actually have to ask the dragon how to do it because they're like, we don't know how to do this, dragon. And this guy from another kind of planet who's called the Destroyer of Planets kind of guy, he is the one who knows that it exists. So he asks Goku if he's a Super Saiyan God. And Goku's like, I don't know. Let's ask the dragon. And the dragon tells him how to do it. And they do it. But after that, in the second movie, I don't know why I'm explaining any of this to you. They can find a way to do it on their own, like without a dragon wish and all this stuff.
Oh,
and
so they had to actually pull the balls together to wish to go.
To be a Super Saiyan God, you actually have to get five Saiyans together, and they all have to submit their power to one Saiyan, and then the dragon can. Yeah, it's crazy. So then they create Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan, which is them using the power after feeling the power, which Saiyans can do. Once they reach a level, they can go back there. So Goku and Vegeta are Super Saiyan God Super Saiyans. In battle, in Resurrection of F.
That's really important.
Yeah. SSJSS.
That's so cool, dude. That really is cool.
And they turn blue. I don't know if this is like a fire thing. Is yellow, red, blue? Are those all aspects
blue
of fire,
is
right?
White is hottest, then blue.
Oh, white is hottest?
I believe so.
Okay. Because we can't
white,
see.
Blue. Right.
We can't see any of that in fire. When I look at fire, I just see the yellow stuff.
I guess that makes sense. White, blue, red, yellow.
How hard do you stare at fire when you look at it?
It depends on what I'm doing.
What were you doing when you stared at fire the hardest? No, give me the time that you stared at fire the hardest.
Put on a Zeppelin album and look at a candle, man.
Like, it'll blow your mind, dude. This is messed up. No, I really do. I want the story. When were you looking at fire really hard? I don't want that to just be a joke, Brandon. I want this to be real. And if it's not real, lie to me.
Okay. I mean, I certainly had the high school, you know.
Bonfire?
Just the candle in your room after, like, that third joint you've ever had in your whole life where everything's super cool. But, yeah, I would probably say camping.
You weren't sitting at a bonfire with the really cute girl on the other side of the bonfire, and you were contemplating going over and saying something to her, but instead of getting up and doing that, you just stared at the bonfire?
Well, I'll tell you the exact thing that happened to me in that exact scenario.
Okay.
It's why I don't grow any hair on the bottom of my chin.
I didn't know you didn't do that.
I don't grow it half the places, so. But, I was
oddly specific.
I was super cool and like I was gonna light my cigarette off this bonfire.
Sure.
And I totally did and it totally worked. And
wow.
These two girls were very cute sitting by the fire and I went up and she was like, oh my God, can I have a cigarette? And I was like, absolutely. And I put it in my mouth like a badass. And I lean down, and there's a metal ring around the fire pit. And I'm like, just kind of like, good. As I'm making eye contact up with her, like, look how cool I am. I just rest my chin on that thing and just.
Oh, that feels horrible.
I remember staring at the fire at that moment.
How did the girls treat you after that?
Not at all.
Oh, they just walked away like this guy lit himself on fire now.
It didn't work well. I mean, it was, I couldn't play it off as if that didn't happen.
Right. Or if you intended to do that at all.
Yeah. Ladies.
Ladies, I just lit my chin
I'm
on fire.
Smoldering.
Hey, you could have played it off. I feel like that worked right there.
Well,
that's
now
hilarious,
I know.
Man. Yeah.
Hindsight's 20/20.
No, that's amazing. But I don't know if the show is referencing fire by these colors they're choosing, but Super Saiyan
sense.
God, Super Saiyan, they're blue. And there's little toys. There's little things you can get. I don't know if you're a collector of things, but they're out
really.
There.
But I always wish I was. You know, I have a few. Like, I have the original Millennium Falcon, the 70s toy, and I have a couple of things like that. But
are you a super Star Wars guy?
Star Wars is my main one. Star Wars and baseball are, like, what I live for.
Got it. Well, I live for baseball, too, but that's just because the Yankees solely are the best team to root for.
Man,
we're
going to have to play whose team sucks worse this year.
No, you're not right. The Yankees are going to be okay. They're not going to be great. They might not make the playoffs, which I've accepted as a Yankee fan. That's possible.
Okay.
But they're going to be all right.
All right. We'll place a gentleman's bet on this.
And the Braves are going to be, where do you think?
I say if we win 72 games.
Wow.
That's high.
That is an awful season.
It's going to be awful.
Yeah. Good luck with that. How do you deal with that when you're a fan? The Braves have not been truly terrible that often.
No, that's the trade-off is we were pretty much great forever.
Yeah, you know, the whole time you were a kid picking stuff.
From like 92, when we beat the Pirates in 92, up until 2011 or 12, the year before Chipper left, it was, I mean, just, we were unstoppable. We went to the pennant every time. Like, you know what I mean?
No, it's a nice thing to root for, a team that does that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. How did 96 feel?
Just, you know what? Nobody listening to this podcast has the two interests that we have. Like,
yes, they do.
Oh my God, I love the Braves and Dragon Ball Z.
He's actually going to send me a super long email being like, you guys, this was the best podcast I've ever heard. The 96 baseball season. I like just the season, not the teams. No, you're right. Okay, fine. We'll defect back to Dragon Ball Z.
Just because my feelings were hurt.
Yeah, good. I've offended you. That's what I intended to do when I started this podcast. To me, I think the really captivating part of Dragon Ball Z is sort of the realism in thinking that you can train yourself to achieve something higher.
That is definitely what I think drives it, for sure, because they do. There's hyperbolic time. I think all the time, gosh, if I could just have a hyperbolic time chamber, I'd be so good at the banjo. I'd be so in shape. I'd do so many sit-ups. You know what I mean?
You'd also go crazy. Even within the show, they say that spending too much time in there makes it crazy.
Yeah. Can you remind me the rules of the chamber?
You get
you
a
can
year.
Leave at any time, or you set the time before
you can
go
leave.
In?
You can leave at any time.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can pretty much just give up. Because in actual Dragon Ball, when he goes into the time chamber in that, Goku, the first time he experiences it is as a kid in Dragon Ball, he exits it. He can't make it. So he trains for a few days or something, and then he's like, nah, I'm out. Like, this doesn't work. But in the course of one day, the hyperbolic time chamber gives you a full year of training. I have a question about that, though, if we're going to talk about the logistics of Dragon Ball Z. Because they train for 3 years for the androids, and then they only train for one additional year in the hyperbolic time chamber. And they're as powerful as Cell, who ate all the androids and is supposed to be, like, just catapulting in levels. I don't know why the 3 years...
Is it exponential growth, though, power-wise? Again, we lost the scouters, so we don't know. We don't have quantitative information on it. But I would assume, then, that the 3 years, it's exponentially... As the stronger you are, the stronger your training is, the quicker you grow.
Correct. So within 1 year...
That's my shot in the dark on that.
So within 1 year, if you can double your power rating, you think that even doubling it, 3 years consecutively wasn't enough, but doubling it one more time wasn't.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. No, that's fine. That's math. You're doing it. Not that math is in the show is fine. We can just instill it ourselves and then we'll be happy about it.
I stared at you trusting that math was correct.
You said double a lot, Craig, and I agreed with everything you said.
Exponents.
Yeah. No, it's interesting to me, though, that's like kind of the core concept of the show, is that there's these battles that take place and they're really elongated and several episodes charging yourself up to the level that you've achieved through training.
Totally.
And then a whole bunch of episodes are just them training. Like, there's just that we're in the process of training right now, and
like
this is what we're doing.
Up in the gravity, wearing weighted clothes, hiding their
power levels. And that stuff, have you been to any stores where they sell, like, weighted stuff? Like, that's an actual way to train yourself now.
My my sister, who's a super, like, way in shape, she's really good at all that kind of stuff, has weighted cuffs on her ankles and feet for swimming.
Wow, for swimming?
Yeah.
That sounds like you drowned. That sounds dangerous.
She's a bad A.
Okay. What struck her? When did she decide that, like, swimming wasn't enough? She needed weighted swimming things.
Well, you know, she started in high school, and all three of my siblings, myself included, struggled with weight in high school. So she started treading water. In Texas, everyone has a pool.
Okay,
doesn't matter your income, you have a pool. So she started, like, treading water out there. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So there's some
ours was
kiddie
like
pool?
A giant barrel above the ground.
Nice.
So
sounds lovely.
She would tread water, and I think she just got so good at that point that she added that element to it.
Is it also from watching Dragon Ball Z or seeing you watch
she
it?
She didn't care as much for the show, which was weird to me.
Yeah, it's confusing when anyone doesn't like the
show.
But
she
get
certainly
very
saw
confused.
It. She certainly was exposed to it. I kamehameha'd her all the time.
Right. Well, they're very deserving. I went to a Walmart recently. I shop at the Walmart from time to time, and they have a bunch of weighted clothing for the P90X videos.
Oh, I have seen those.
So there's, like, weighted armbands. There's weighted like, leg stuff. Everything. Right. You could actually wear, like, a weighted jacket. That, to me, I would then just be trying to be Goku. Like, I would buy all that stuff, probably never to use, solely to be the characters on the TV show.
Do you remember when they're going into the World Tournament right before the Buu Saga starts? It is that season.
Yes.
And there's the machine that measures the power of their punch.
Yep,
so
and they all
rank
have to.
Them, and everyone's just like going really easy on it. And then my favorite, just Vegeta just goes, duh, and just like breaks
destroys the whole thing.
Without even breaking his mouth. Right. So cool.
It's that too. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the specific characters. Vegeta is both of our favorite characters.
By far.
There's something about his inability to conform to anything that's really just attractive as, like, a human. Just probably a guy I'd want to be is someone who refuses in any scenario to go along.
Well, I mean, he technically kind of does conform, but for four seasons he refuses to admit that he's a good guy because he's saying he's only helping the good guys so he can keep Goku alive long enough to kill him himself.
I don't think that that's a failure to admit. I think he legitimately is solely trying to get better than Goku to kill him. Because
Kakarot.
Kakarot. I love that he doesn't call him Goku ever, too. Like, that's another
that's his Earth name.
Right. Yeah. He refuses to conform to any of that crap. I do think that it's true, though, that he is really just there for that, and then he sort of gets it on
with
Bulma.
By the end of Cell, right? He's kind of like, because Trunks comes back with the androids, and I think that probably softens him.
Well,
he's also super pissed that Trunks can go Super Saiyan before he can.
Yeah, because Trunks takes care of Frieza after Frieza's not dead, because Goku doesn't like to kill people. Although that changes, too, by the way. Goku gets over that pretty quickly.
Well, after the third death, like the third time you're wished back, you're like, I should probably kill these people.
We're doing this after our Patty Vasquez show tonight, and for the entire night I tried to review Batman versus Superman, was not allowed to. At no point was I allowed to review it. But one of the problems I have with that movie is the killing and how the superheroes just kill and it's no big deal. In the Buu saga, Goku kills a henchman. Not even like a main dude. There's just a henchman that Goku takes his life, actually by feeding him power. The henchman actually sucks power, and so Goku has so much power that he just gives it to him till he explodes. And when that happens, I was like, this is the guy that didn't kill Vegeta, that didn't kill Frieza, and he just doesn't give a crap about killing a random henchman dude? Like, there's something wrong with that, right?
I don't know. You live and you learn. You know what I mean? although I will say that the fact that it was someone who he could have clearly just beaten and not had to kill, that, I don't know. I think that show, like,
well, so here's my question. In any of these kind of things, you don't kill the really important guys. Batman doesn't kill Joker because Joker's too intriguing.
Yeah.
But if Batman takes the life of Joker, like henchman number 10, that's the same thing. And actually, it's even worse to me that you kill the much weaker dude. I know that from a story perspective, we don't care about henchman number 10. He doesn't have to come back for the next story to be intriguing. But that, to me, would be a worse murder that a superhero committed than actually killing the Joker. This guy's horrible. He's killing everybody. Henchman number 10 doesn't know what's going on. He's probably getting paid a really terrible
his
salary.
His friends got him into this group. he was at community college. Yeah. Things are going well.
Right. He's not making anywhere near the same money as even like henchman number 2's making.
Right.
And so the fact that we kill him, really, he could have just been tied up. You could have batarang'd him and tied him up. He doesn't have to be.
Well, it's up to the hero. And I think the issue, if I correct me if I'm wrong, is that Goku changed. So you know Daredevil, you know Superman. They're not going to kill anybody.
Right.
That's their thing.
That is their thing.
I'm pretty sure Batman is cool with just killing people.
No, right? You're completely wrong. No, he doesn't even like guns.
I'm so Marvel. It's hard for me to remember DC.
Well, yeah, actually, me too. I'm very much Marvel. There are moments throughout the series. Actually, the comic book that this movie is loosely based on, one of them, Batman does kill the Joker in that specific comic book, but he's forced to. There's no other option, and it's one of those. And this is what makes superheroes so intriguing, is sort of their difference from a bad guy. This is what makes Vegeta so intriguing.
Yeah.
His difference from all the other good guys, the things that he refuses to do, the things that he does that no one else does.
Yeah.
That's the most intriguing kind of dynamic, to say we are not the same. I am different, and this is why. Yeah. I think for almost all superheroes, that
Punisher
difference...
Punisher Daredevil.
That difference becomes, I refuse to kill no matter what.
Didn't Vegeta like... Nappa like was starting to lose, and Vegeta just blew Vegeta him
killed
away
Nappa
instantly.
Yeah, there's an argument that Vegeta was never truly a bad guy because he actually didn't take any good guy lives at any point. He killed no good guys throughout the whole show. He killed no one. Nappa killed all those dudes,
right?
And Vegeta killed Nappa, but still, dude, you just killed your best friend who you've been hanging out with for years,
yeah,
doing
absolutely.
Stuff. Like that doesn't seem like a great dude. He's not.
No.
I wouldn't call him a hero at that point.
No, I don't. I would agree.
And given a chance, he would have murdered Goku like crazy.
Oh yeah, if he could have beaten him, he would have.
Yeah, you think he would still murder Goku? Just from the Dragon Ball Z saga, that there's no point where Vegeta doesn't want to really take that one life?
I don't know. I think at this point, because obviously, like, the planet Vegeta is gone. Like, all the Saiyans are gone.
Yeah, there's only a few
Bardock's
left.
Gone. Like, the whole
Bardock.
The line is gone. You
Goku's
know what I mean?
Dead.
So, I think he's probably moved on at that point. I don't know, though. I think it's now like more of a lighthearted, let's spar until one of us can't get up kind of a thing.
Yeah. Well, so you talk a lot about the multiverse, too. Do you like the idea that there's a universe out there where planet Vegeta wasn't destroyed?
Yeah, there has to be.
And then there's a whole bunch of Saiyans all flying around. In that world, does Goku even matter? And is Vegeta even care about Goku? Does he still become a superpowered dude?
I don't know, because like, look, Goku's origin is he's Kakarot. He's put as a little baby in a little shuttle to throw to Earth.
By his dad, who actually knows Superman style, that his planet is about to come under heavy attack.
Right, but isn't the other point is he's supposed to kill everyone. He's supposed to take over Earth and make it a Saiyan.
Oh, yeah, he's
haven,
still
right?
he's still a Saiyan, so he
right.
can't knock that part of who he is.
And then we're like, I think we were sold on the
head.
Idea that he bumps his head, which instantly I kind of have a problem with that. So like,
he bumped his head hard.
Right, but like, okay, the system of sending babies in capsules to other planets is going to be a rocky journey.
Yeah, you're
like,
right. Like, you're right, and actually the crashing part is probably not going to be super comfortable
and
awesome.
I don't think so.
Yeah, but did you see he was up on the top of the waterfall, and the baby fell all the way down the waterfall, and there was a rock at the bottom.
Okay, all right. You sold
I'm
me.
Being sarcastic. No, I was completely joking. That is not the same as a spaceship hitting the Earth. I feel like it's not. And actually, in Batman vs. Superman, I saw that it's not. I hate that movie so much.
Yeah,
I hate
your
it.
Rage is leaking.
Yeah, I know. Do you have any things you hate? Any things that just, like, it upsets you maybe as if... I know I've seen people say that, you know, if you care so much about the source material, the comic books, you shouldn't go. Just don't go to this movie. Because if I go and I don't care about the comic books at all, I don't hate it as much as you do. I don't care.
That's valid.
You know?
I mean, I would have... I'd say episodes 1, 2, and 3 of Star Wars do that for me a little bit.
Really? What
yeah.
is what is the thing that makes you hate it so much? The irreverence it has to the things that came before it? Or...
Yeah, the complete lack of any one good element. like you know what I mean? So like,
okay, yeah.
So I mean,
you,
so Star Wars, you're
you
4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
Acting was bad.
Acting
Script
was not great.
Wasn't super good.
No.
I mean, editing and directing, star wipes. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
those movies look really old now, by the way.
But the practical effects and the feeling, this like sci-fi fantasy epic definition of what it was supposed to be, creation of this.
Right.
Because you've had sci-fi before. You had Kubrick in 2001 and like all this other stuff. But this made the epic fantasy a reality.
Sure.
So it was this that standard epic fable that had magic. I mean, if you want to get into why 6 kind of sucked, okay, I can understand. But if you're going to make a prequel series to this type, then you better have practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
You better have John Williams is the only reason that 1, 2, and 3 were Star Wars.
Interesting.
It's just a computer.
Yeah.
It's just a computer graphic you're watching. You know what I mean?
No, I fully agree. And so you really loved the new one.
I liked it a lot more than I did 1, 2, and 3.
You did not really love it.
No.
Why not?
Well, 1, okay, so we all know that 4 is a setup for 5, right?
Yes.
But 4 is also a standalone movie.
Yes.
I don't believe that Seven stood alone as
much
as it did.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Okay, and the second thing is, dude, Seven is just four.
Yes. But that's beautiful. That's not terrible. That's not hacked. That's actually beautiful.
Okay, I get...
Because it's not exactly four. There are differences. It's purposefully so similar to four,
yeah.
Yet believably a new story launching new characters,
yeah.
One of which is a female protagonist.
And all of that I support. Right. I think...
And I know Princess Leia is a female. She was not the lead superhero.
No, she wasn't. And honestly, like, you know, she was... at the whim of whatever dude was into her at that moment. I mean,
that is
the 70s.
True.
It's not our fault.
No, it's not.
Like, we didn't
make any of that. Yeah.
But I think the director obviously came in and saw what 1, 2, and 3 did to us as a fan base.
Yeah.
And said, "I've got your back. This will be the most Star Warsy Star Wars movie that has ever Star Wars." And
it's not even shot in any kind of digital. It's shot
in
regular.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely. All like so many practical effects. It was great in that way. You know, you went back to your robot. Comic relief instead of creatures that spoke and therefore were not funny.
Have you seen
awful.
The video that somebody made? It's like 3 or 4 minutes long, splicing 4 and 7 together. So
no.
It's actually a split screen of scenes from 4 compared to scenes from the newest
one. That's how I feel. That's how I felt about
it. Well, no, but every single one of those moments, this has now become a Star Wars podcast a little bit because I don't know what else there is to talk about Dragon Ball. It's an awesome show. It's Vegeta's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you can get like into the fact that It ran into two things that it figured out it could just keep doing forever, and that is change forms of the bad guys
right.
and bring good guys back to life.
Well, and also the idea that Goku is going to start out not as powerful as you, and by the end, he or his offspring is going to win the fight by being upset. They're going to get angry enough to be stronger
true.
Than you. Because all the training aside, what's really going to push me to the next level is you're going to make me really pissed.
And there's a human element to that that's relatable.
Right.
You know
I guess
I mean?
So. And then there's also the spirit bomb. Because eventually the spirit bomb is what you need to take people out.
And that's beautiful at the end when everyone in the whole earth raises their hands up and creates an energy.
Because of Hercule, actually.
Yeah.
Not even because of Goku or anyone.
Well, yeah, they asked and they wouldn't. I'm sorry.
You can turn the mic off. You can actually close your own mic. Stop. No, go ahead. Keep going. No, it's fine.
Goku asks everybody to do it and then they have to get the popularity of Hercule to do it. Which
right. Vegeta even actually yells at them. Vegeta's like, "You moron dicks.
Yeah.
Like, you people, your planet's about to be destroyed. Give us your energy." And people
so
are like,
cool.
"We don't know who this person is still." And then Hercule says, "Give me your energy." And they're like, "Yeah, no problem, dude."
All right, let me tie this together with a question for
you. Please go ahead.
Jedi or Saiyan?
That's a really tough question. There's really great video games made on both of those things where you get to feel like you're a Saiyan or you get to feel like you're a Jedi. And I think that the more powerful thing, of course, is Saiyan, but the more intriguing thing is probably Jedi.
And therefore probably more useful. The second you're a Saiyan
I don't
Earth,
know if that's...
Well, I just mean, like, the second you're a Saiyan, everyone... Okay, now it's like the government's after... It's clear. Like, that
now
guy
you're
literally
Superman.
Yawned
right.
and everything around him exploded.
Yeah. Like, he is way more powerful than... No, actually, it's part of the Superman movies, both the one we've already seen, Man of Steel, and the newest one. He is a god among men.
Yeah.
The Saiyans are gods among regular mortal humans.
Yeah, they have to control themselves.
That's right.
Why Vegeta's such an interesting character, because he has not an issue with it, but he seems to kind of like piss off Goku by occasionally not being quiet about it.
Well, exactly. And then the minute that they're actually defeated, they jump in power.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool that even the idea that this super powerful being could be beaten by someone else super powerful, and then it's within their kind of type of thing. It's their whatever genes that they immediately just get more powerful.
Yeah.
I just wake up. If you got beat up by a bully in school and then you woke up way stronger than the bully, that would be an amazing thing.
I would ask you to beat me up every day.
Right. Yeah, I would go in
the year, I'd be
pick
like,
a fight with a really big dude every day to be like, "I'm going to wake up really strong and I'm going to kick your ass."
There was a message, though, there, and then, like, to get cheesy for a second, I really think, like, they sold you on the plan that, like, you work that hard and you care that much, you'll get what you want.
Yeah, no, and if you put that much passion into it.
Giant lizard alien thing.
Why does it always have to be one hero? Why couldn't it rotate between everybody? In the newest show, Dragon Ball Super, Piccolo is about to have a huge power jump, so he's actually going to be a relevant character again as well.
Thank God, because he wasn't relevant since he fused with Nami.
Since the fusing with Nami and for maybe a week being the most powerful character, he was then no longer powerful.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why is it always one protagonist? Why do we need one guy and maybe a rival in Vegeta that you have to look at? With the Star Wars movies, it was Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
No matter how powerful or interesting Han Solo was as a character, the guy who was going to save the day was Luke, and now the person who's going to save the day is definitely going to be Rey.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone else is going to be able to do... Even Luke looks old and haggard, and he's probably going to die in the next movie. So.
Well, and Jedi's start lose their power a little bit. It's one of the
reasons
why people think Obi-Wan's so awesome, and then 17 years later can barely lift a freaking rock.
Because you can't. No, but I don't know why that has to. Why can't it be like a team of people? Why do we just story-wise, you have to focus on one person?
It's probably easy for the audience to relate to one set of human values. Mm. You know what I mean? Like Luke's flaws and Luke's qualities, or Goku's flaws and Goku's qualities, I can relate to. Whether you're asking me to relate to an entire group of people,
all the Ninja Turtles.
You know what I mean? Well, like the Ninja Turtles. Who's your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Michelangelo.
Because you relate to him, right?
Yeah.
So there you go. So yeah, there's four of them. But
damn it, Brian and Z. Brian. That to me quickly. You dick. Now go ahead.
You know, I mean, like, that's who you're watching. That's who you're relating to. That's who you're rooting for.
But they still save the day as a group. Like, I'm not sad that my superhero wasn't the only one saving the day. I have a favorite X-Men, too. And yet the X-Men all save the day as a group. There's sort of a team effort. Even the Avengers, the Avenger movies that came out, which are amazing compared to Batman versus Superman, which I will try to reference as many times as possible in this podcast and how it is. I'm going to have to bleep that now. I'm going to have to bleep myself for the first time in my podcast because of Batman versus Superman. Even with the X-Men, I have a favorite X-Men, Wolverine, and yet I still enjoy the fact that he's not the only one saving the day. And it seems like more often than not.
Well, the X-Men, it works a little differently because they all have
a specific.
Like, Wolverine could probably defeat most people, but no way could he defeat Magneto.
Right.
You know what I mean? So their specific powers match up in that way, which is cool. But and again, like, I relate in certain ways to different characters in that way. I see what you're saying, though.
No. Well, and like you said, relating to it, because I'm not great at everything. I was not blessed with being great at everything that I do.
Yeah.
And so there's some things that I do pretty well that other people don't, and there's some things that other people do well. So the X-Men kind of teaches me that if I work within a group, I probably have more, you know, ability to move on, as opposed to Dragon Ball Z, which just tells me that if I train really hard by myself
alone,
it's nice to have
friends, but they'll all die. So yeah.
if I take a spaceship up to space and like train completely alone, I'm going to be more powerful. And by the way, I think one of the reasons that Goku is ahead of everyone else is access to better training. At every stage, he has a better training.
Yeah, he's got the gravity ship.
He's the first guy to go to Planet Kai and hang out with King Kai.
Yeah.
And learn all his stuff and then come back.
The four freaking seasons we had to watch him run Snake Way.
Which makes no sense, by the way, because at no point after that in the Dragon Ball Z series, actually, I think maybe the Frieza saga, are you wished back to the exact place in which you died or the place where you are. Actually, you are wished back to the exact point in which you died, not the place that your body currently is at.
Mm-hmm.
It's very confusing. Where you get wished to changes to help the story.
Does it ever tell us why he loses Nimbus?
No.
Because the whole time I'm watching him run down this road, I'm like, just get on the cloud.
Yeah, just let Nimbus do all of it.
What are you doing?
You're going to be able to save an extra Sensu Bean? Everything's going to be better.
Yeah.
Where the hell's Nimbus? No, we don't. I don't know. That's another thing where that show doesn't really have. It's better to watch as a kid. Watching it as an adult.
It's the Goonies situation.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I never saw the Goonies as a kid. I moved up here. Everyone's like, oh my God, it's the greatest movie
ever. Do you think
it's
a Sandlot thing too?
You know what? Probably, because in my head, I'm like, no, dude, Sandlot holds up.
I love Sandlot.
Yeah, well, it's classic.
Yeah, it's the best
movie
ever.
I think if you see Neverending Story, if you see Labyrinth, if you see Goonies as an adult with no frame of reference, you're like, you guys are stupid and this is stupid. So I'm.
This is terrible. There's so many plot holes.
Imagine like trying to get your girlfriend to sit down and watch DBZ with you at this point.
It'd be awful.
Or like all your friends who had never seen it as a kid. Like
that would be terrible.
They'd hate you.
That's why I'm actually even scared about putting this podcast out, because the minute that I put this out and like say that I'm super into this thing, I feel like there's people that are going to look at it like, this guy. Why does he like? I even played the video game that came out recently.
Dragon
Ball Xenoverse.
Because I played the Xbox 360 one, which is really repetitive.
No, Xenoverse is great. It's actually a multi-universe thing.
Okay. What system is it on?
I have it on Xbox One, but I believe it's on all of them. I think it's on Xbox 360. It's
362? Okay, then there you go.
Yeah, they're still backdating these games. They're all still coming out on stuff.
That's really cool. I'm glad that they're doing that.
No, but the idea in the video game, just to explain that to you for no reason whatsoever, is that Trunks is now a time patroller who hangs out in this time vault where he can jump to different stages in time and fix stuff that might be going awry because it changes a timeline.
Remind me why when they come back, because Trunks is like, I got to save Goku, I got to fix the future, I got to defeat the androids or whatever.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the future change?
For him?
Yeah.
See, that's a really good question. This is now a Back to the Future kind of thing. So in Back to the Future, when Biff steals the time machine, And they then try to travel in time. They go to his timeline because he's altered the timeline and they're traveling, I guess, within it.
So there's no linear action. It's all
right.
Every
so
time
I think that
happens.
I think that the time travel as it exists in DBZ is jumping between universes as opposed to legitimately traveling through time. Because if all the universes are happening simultaneously, they're probably not all happening at the exact same time. So if you believe, and you legitimately believe in multi-universe.
I certainly do.
Yeah. You think that's a real thing. Now I burp into the microphone. You think that's a real thing, that it exists, that there's multiple universes happening right now. Are they all currently on our timeline, or is like Jesus wandering around in one?
Well, Jesus is timeless, if you read the Bible. but
I didn't mean to laugh so loud. I did not mean to laugh. Grandma, I did not laugh at that joke. That was not a joke, and I did not laugh at it.
He has risen.
Now I'm going to have to edit a laugh that I made and a curse word. God, Grandma, don't listen to my podcast. And she does. The sweetest. She just listens to everyone. She doesn't know any of the shows.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's lovely. Hi. She plays them for everybody else.
Hi, Craig Collins, Grandma.
Yeah. Her name's Mildred.
Hi, Mildred.
Yeah. Old school name.
Yeah. My grandmother would feel the same way.
Got it.
No, I think... I don't know, because... So you take your fourth dimension, right? And
yes.
That is time-space, and we're in... This, what we feel is a linear motion through
time. I'm so excited you're explaining this to me. Go ahead.
So in my head, like you get to the quantum level, and therefore that's when we start to see the connections that lead us to the theory of the multiverse.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Those would have to stay, they would have to be in the same place in the fourth dimension, even in different universes.
Okay.
So that's not only the same space, right, that they're flashing in between and the entanglement theory and everything.
Sure.
But also, therefore, then the same time on the line.
So you have a bunch of bizarro Brandons.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're all doing different things right now.
Yes.
How many of them are actually at WGN? Probably not that many.
I mean, there's an infinite amount, so...
So a whole bunch.
But every time a choice, every time information can change, because matter is much more information than it is fact.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's not really actually a thing as much as it is a possibility.
Sure.
So anytime information can change, basically anytime a decision can be made, whether that's by gravity or by your
I can't believe
choice.
You're not watching Flash. I don't know why you're not watching Flash. We did a podcast about Flash. And okay, go ahead.
I know. That's when a new timeline begins.
Okay.
So I think, yes, I think every Brandon across the multiverse is 29 years old.
Okay.
So
there is no
alive.
Jesus. So in no multiverse right now is Jesus chilling. Unless Jesus didn't come.
Not in human flesh, no.
Got it. Unless he didn't come then, because, you know, there is that argument that if Jesus came now with Facebook and stuff, he'd make more of an impact.
You know? Hashtag Jesus,
yeah, if
man.
Jesus had like a Facebook page right now, I feel like things could be totally... If he was doing miracles and then posting YouTube videos, seriously, Jesus, things might work out way better.
Well,
your followers,
I mean, that,
and stuff.
You know, that gets really dogmatic in the way that, so if you believe in you know, Christianity, but also scientifically the multiverse, therefore it's the same Jesus and the same God and the same Holy Ghost across the multiverse.
So is he the same through all of them?
So there would therefore then have to be a constant. The one constant is Jesus of Nazareth.
Okay, and the constant, now we're talking about Desmond Hume from Lost. He is the constant.
Jesus-esque in his appearance.
Yeah, he is Jesus-esque in a lot of things that he does, even in trying to bring everybody back to the island.
But I'm not allowed to see
he's
this
enlightened.
Religious. You told me specifically.
The writers didn't think it was. No, I think they did. I think they were Christian. I think what they didn't want you to do was draw your own conclusion at the end.
Yeah, valid.
No. I don't know, man. To me, one of the most interesting things about that idea of the multiverse specifically is that we're all in completely different spots. Have you seen the Days of Future Past movie, the X-Men Days of Future Past? I love the idea that he travels within his own consciousness, because, and that's actually Assassin's Creed is a video game that I try to talk about.
Oh, yeah. So
yeah. Good. I love Assassin's Creed.
And
there's
that's
a movie
the same
coming
thing.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
You actually have sort of a genetic memory that goes beyond your own existence, according to that video.
It's almost like reincarnation in a way. Right?
Yeah, it's reincarnation in the way that your DNA actually has a memory, and when that DNA gets passed on, those memories exist somewhere within my brain.
The genetic code,
and so the fact that I can get into kind of this machine and connect to those memories means I can live other people's lives that are somehow connected to mine.
Which is really cool, because every one of those lives, there are piles of hay everywhere that you can jump into.
Yeah. Well, and that to me is the multiverse, though, because then not only are there a bunch of bizarro Craigs in an infinite amount of places, there also are a bunch of different timelines happening, and you could jump to a different timeline somehow. I don't have a scientific way to back it up like you do. I just like the idea that multiverse is a whole lot of stuff. It doesn't have to be any one kind of...
So it's not all in one like linear time just
no,
next to
why,
each other.
Why would
it
there
is,
be an infinite...
spreading out like this.
Why would there be an infinite number of Craig Collinses? How many differences truly could I have? How many things could really be different? Like, how many things don't affect me at all? If something changes and it has no effect on me whatsoever, how does it change me?
Well, this is the butterfly effect.
No, it's not. It is the idea of the butterfly effect, but I think that that's not.
So you
leave the studio today, murder a butterfly. You're not going to change my life, Brandon Z. Bryce. You're not in no way, not in any of the universes.
Valid. Okay, so this universe, you go home and you shave.
Okay.
And you come out the next day.
I don't know if I want to do that again. I'm going a no shave route now.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've been tempted.
You're a man who can do it.
Why,
so
thank you.
The rest of us will just sit in envy. you go out and you don't shave, and some person on the bus finds you so incredibly appealing tomorrow with this, like, non-shaven look that you have, or that decision that you made.
Yeah, it's the beast within me.
Yeah, and an agent hires you, or you fall madly in love with this incredibly rich person. Something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because you decided not to shave.
Okay.
So the guy that did shave got on the bus, came to work, and nothing changed for him.
Right. So again, though, in your example, that's something very specific to me. If I don't decide whether or not to shave tonight, but you leave the studio and kill a butterfly, does the agent still approach me anywhere? No, that has nothing to do with me.
But every decision you make does, and therefore, even a decision as small
so you're asking
as
me
not
to count how many
teeth.
Right. You're asking me to count how many decisions I make.
Yeah. How many forks in the road do you take during a given day?
Yeah. Okay. And then that's all the different Craigs out there.
There you go.
Right. I wonder if we'd all be friends. Would you be friends with all your doppelgangers?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah, some of them
He's
would hate
lot.
You. Some of them would really not like you at all. Yeah, because you'd be dating their girlfriends and stuff, apparently. Like, that's what we learned tonight on Patty's show as well, is that you're...
I am a good person.
Yeah, yeah. You're a lovely guy, Brandon C. Price. I like you a lot. So, all in all, though, if we've gotten completely off track, say one more thing about Dragon Ball Z to rope this together.
If there, this is a question. I'm cheating.
Okay.
That's what you just said. If there were Dragon Balls, if someone showed up to you
and
said, there are
question.
Dragon Balls on this earth, would you stop doing what you're doing in life and go seek them out?
I don't know how that's your question, but absolutely. How many people are doing it, though? Because there's a certain point where I was not the best in gym class.
Sure. This is not the Amazing Race.
Yeah, because if I'm the only one that finds out about Dragon Balls.
I leave. You're cleaning up or whatever.
Got it.
Then some crazy ghost of Shenron appears and it's like, Craig.
I really just want to do that. That part, the ghost of Shenron just hanging out with
selfie
me.
Selfie with Shenron.
What up? No, that's the wrong thing. Then everybody knows about it.
Yeah,
I got to keep this on the down low.
You've got to leave your whole job. You've got to take your life savings.
But I'm on search for Dragon and nobody else knows about him.
Yeah, but I mean, who knows? Maybe one's at the bottom of the Mariana Trench.
I don't know if it'll ever happen. Somebody will figure that
You're
out with
comfortable
me.
With devoting your entire life to trying to achieve that. I'm not judging you.
Okay.
I might say yes as well. I'm just clearing the question.
So let's reframe the question in a way that is more realistic in society.
Okay.
If you were told that you had to go on this super long scavenger hunt, but you were going to absolutely win the Powerball. You were going to discover every single number of the power, unless money is not what you would wish for, but or fame or something. I don't know what you want. But you get an unlimited amount of money to achieve whatever else you want, which is all it takes in this world to get other stuff.
Truth.
Would you do that? Would you go on a length of time mission if at the end of it you were the only guy hunting for the absolute winning Powerball numbers and you're going to win the biggest Powerball that ever existed?
Yeah.
The answer is yes, because you change your life forever.
There's a part of me that's like, the path I'm on now is me trying to earn something. But you know what?
I don't know why.
I'm never going to earn a jigglillion dollars.
I don't know why searching for Dragon Balls isn't earning crap, man. I mean, come on. That's a whole thing.
Yeah.
You just said, one's going to be at the bottom of this crazy ocean, and I got to figure that out. I earned my wish.
Yeah.
So if a genie poofed in here and asked you if you wanted something right now, you'd decline because you didn't earn it?
No. No, I would take it. And just like Michelangelo and the turtles, you have shown me the light.
Yeah, exactly correct. I will take all of this forever. Yeah, I would for sure search for the Dragon Balls.
Dragon Ball Z is an incredibly awesome show that if you have kids, you should expose them to
the show. Yeah, the right age kids, although I don't know that if you watch the Cartoon Network version, there's anything too bad for children. They just punch.
No, yeah, they're just a bunch of punching.
But, something about this show, and there is kind of a lesson in it, I guess, sort of.
Yep.
Not really.
No consequences at all. Die and your friends will wish you back. Do whatever you want.
Totally cool. That's the lesson for the children. Well, thank you, Brandon C. Price,
for
discussing
Craig Collins.
Dragon Ball Z and a bunch of other stuff, and for doing this twice, because the first time it didn't count. This is You've Been Challenged. I'm Craig Collins. Come back next week, where I believe I'm doing more Game of Thrones stuff. Thank you.